Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm told it's going to get warmer
later. Nice.
Kind of came nice, didn't it? It's been coming nice on the evenings, which kind of suits me. We're going to have some nice weather.
Yeah.
Well, today, I want to, every so often, I just love to dip into the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon being one of the kings of Israel, one of David's sons, who asked God for wisdom and got wisdom. And I just love going through Solomon's wisdom, whether it be the wisdom in the Proverbs, whether it reading some of the stuff in the book of Ecclesiastes. The stuff that Solomon's put down is just, it's so great in today's society, the wisdom of Solomon. You know, it's great, isn't it, that we... You know, the world is always looking for the best way to do things and looking for the best business plan or the best way to do this corporately and all these different things. But when you access the Bible, you access the wisdom of the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. Now, it tells in the Bible that no one had the wisdom of Solomon. No one lived who had the wisdom of Solomon. No one else did, obviously, apart from Jesus, the Son of God himself, which... kind of had a bit of a head start on Solomon anyway, being that he was God. But, you know, if we look at it from our own perspective, Solomon has all of this wisdom. Solomon has all of this stuff. And the world and people in the world and people in business and in organizations are searching for, like, the next best thing and trying to find all this great stuff. But we have the ability. So I'll just go to my Bible and see what the wisest guy has got to say. And I can guarantee that at some point, when you are hitting something, there'll be some little proverb or there'll be some little comment from Solomon, inspired by God, that's just like, wow, yeah, that really fits, that really works, that's really helpful today. All these years later, it's still helpful today. So we're going to look at a little bit of Solomon's wisdom today, and I'm calling this message 3 for the price of 2. Free for the price of two. Now, I don't know if you're a free for the price of two kind of person, where you go in and it's kind of like, well, I'm going to use it anyway, so it's an offer that just works for me. Like, I know that I'm going to use toothpaste eventually, so I'm going to use it eventually, so 3 for the 2 works well for me. Or whether you're one of those people that it's just an offer, so you have to buy it, whether you're going to use it or not. It's like, I got it for 3 for 2. It's like, but are you going to use it? Well, not really, but... it was an offer, you know, a bit of a tip. But that's how the supermarkets get you. That's why you save money doing online shopping. Because you kind of, you miss. And I remember watching a program about this where they sent somebody around the supermarket with a strict list. And they said, you've got to stick to your list. Even if the thing that you're going to buy is an offer, if it's a 3 for 2 offer, don't get it. Just buy the one thing that you need. And then they sent somebody else around to get the same stuff, but they... were allowed to access the offers and things, and they spent so much more, and the bill was like so much bigger. So 3 for 2, it's a funny one, but this 3 for 2 is one that works. This is a 3 for 2 offer, which is really good, and it's not going to be 3 for 2 messages. It's not going to be like, okay, well, I'm preaching 2 messages, but you get the impact of 3 or anything like that, you know. I don't even know if that's possible, but 3 for the price of 2. So it's about pursuing 2 things and finding 3. So we're going to go to the book of Proverbs 21:21, not the year 21:21, but chapter 21, verse 21. And this is some wisdom from Solomon. Whoever pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like the kind of 3 for 2 that I'm going to put in my basket. If I pursue righteousness and love, what I get back is life, prosperity, and honour. In some ways, it's more than 3 for 2 because I find those things, but I'm also, because I'm pursuing righteousness and love, I'm finding them as well. So I find 5 things, even though I'm only pursuing 2, because that's how God works. And today, I just want to unpack this a little bit, because this is some great wisdom for how we live today, because we can so often get caught up pursuing things which aren't of any interest, which don't have any return, which are like those rubbish deals where it's like, I've got 3 for 2 on Alpine, and I don't eat Alpine for breakfast, I just eat Alpen, whatever it's called, you know. Surely Alpen's kind of like, it's okay with orange juice on it, which is how you're supposed to eat it, there's another tip for you. No, seriously, Alpen is supposed to be eaten with fresh orange juice, not milk. It's just us Brits who kind of taken it and just drowned everything with milk, don't we? We drown stuff with milk, the Scots drown stuff with batter. It's kind of like... Someone the other day was saying, I'd love to try a battered Mars bar. I was like, why? Why? That's just like, in so many levels, it's like, maybe it's something to do with like, yeah, well, kind of know where it's going to, a moment on these little things here and a lifetime around here, isn't it? It's kind of like, I'll go for a run and then have a battered Mars bar. It's just not how it works. But the, you know, it's no good. Is that right? The battered mouth, heartburn central. As we buy into some things, and whether it be these offers at supermarkets or just life in general, we pursue something that just isn't any good. And the return on it isn't just, it's just not worth it. So let's have a think about this one. So pursue righteousness and love. So first, love, pursuing love of God, love of one another. And not just the action of love, but the actual love, the love that God speaks about, where it's more than just a feeling, it's more than just, I feel this way towards you. It's about that proactive love of saying, okay, regardless of how I'm feeling, I'm still going to pursue the love which God talks about in the Bible, which is a love that drove Jesus to the cross with a love for the very people that were putting him on there. Now, we can kind of think, well, I just don't love the person, or I just don't like the person, or I just, you know, it's just not there, so it's impossible for me to do that. But if Jesus can cry out, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do, not only about those that were driving the nails into his hands, but about every single one of us, and I truly believe that it wasn't just the guys that were nailing him to the cross that Jesus was addressing at that point. He was addressing every single member of humanity, because we were the reason he was there in the first place. If he can still cry out in love, that's not a love that's a feeling, mushy love. That's an active love that says, regardless of the situation, I'm going to do it. And that's the kind of love we're talking about pursuing here. And as we go after that, regardless of our situation, regardless of our feelings, regardless of what we think, as long as we're following what God says with regards to loving one another and loving God, then we pursue that. We find so much more in the process. And then righteousness, and it's righteousness that I want to focus on much more today. So what is righteousness, and how do you seek it? Because sometimes we can read these things and we can say, you know, seek righteousness. It's like, oh yeah, that's a good thing to do. But then you look at it a little bit deeper and you think, I'm not actually sure how I do that. I'm not actually sure, what is righteousness? I kind of think I know. I think I heard somebody at Faith Camp speak about righteousness. I think I heard somebody in church speak about righteousness. But do I really know what righteousness is? Would I know righteousness if I recognized it? Would I know righteousness if I was living a righteous life? Or do I just take it by chance and hope that I'm living and pursuing righteousness? And how do I seek it? Once I find out what righteousness is, how do I seek it? How do I pursue righteousness? Because it's one thing to find out what it is, it's another thing to find out how I pursue righteousness in my life. So I've made this really simple for this morning. Some people might be thinking, well, I kind of know what righteousness is, and you know, I am pursuing righteousness, and I'm, you know, I'm there and I'm doing that. Well done. That's great. It's really, really pleased for you that you already know that. But for those of us that sometimes need things a bit more simple, here it is. So righteousness is thinking, speaking, and acting in agreement with God's standards of right and wrong. Righteousness is thinking, speaking, and acting in agreement with God's standards of right and wrong. God's standards of right and wrong is very different to what we might see as right and wrong. When we speak to certain people, they might say, oh, he's a good person. Like, well, yes, I can see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Yes, they're a great person. They are good. But when we start to match up the standards with God and see what God's definition of right and wrong is, then we start to see a proper picture of righteousness. It's doing what is just and right as defined by God himself. He's laid out the rules and he's laid out, this is what righteousness looks like. He even came to earth to show us, this is what it looks like to live a righteous life. I'm not just going to tell you through the prophets. I'm not just going to show you through the different people throughout biblical history. I'm going to come myself and I'm going to show you for 33 years, this is what it looks like to live a righteous life. And when you live how I live, powered by the Holy Spirit, you will be pursuing righteousness, you will be pursuing love, and you are going to find all of these things. And the boundaries and definitions of righteousness are clearly revealed through the Bible. That's why we're told, it's like read your Bible. It's not just about reading your Bible for inspiration. It's not just about reading your Bible because you're told to. I think sometimes we do that, don't we? It's like, well, I should read my Bible. Kind of forget why you're doing it, or am I just the only one? Sometimes it's like, I know I've got to read my Bible, so I'd better do it. And I kind of think, why am I reading my Bible? I'm just kind of like reading anything. When we get a bit more proactive in why we're reading it, I think, well, actually, I'm going to read my Bible with the filter and the lens on at the moment of seeing what does it look like to live righteously? Which people can I look at? Which people can I read about? Who are the people that God said he was pleased with? Who are the people that pleased God? Who are the people that came alongside Jesus and impressed Jesus because they were pursuing righteousness? And sometimes we slip into the thing of it's a tick box thing. And sometimes that's great to have reading plans where you tick boxes and say, well, I've done this, and that's great. But sometimes to be a bit more proactive in saying, well, at the moment, I want to learn what it is to pursue righteousness and love. And I want to know what it is to live a righteous life. So therefore, I'm going to read my Bible with a view to finding out what that is. It's sometimes good to use it as a research tool. When I was doing my degree, I used to have to read loads of stuff to find out. I didn't want to read the stuff. Some of the stuff is like, this is ridiculous. Why do I have to waste my time reading? This is so boring. I want to read an Assassin's Creed book, or I want to kind of like just read something that I enjoy. I want to read something that's kind of like, I've got a bit of drama in it and a little bit of people running across the rooftops of Rome and all these kinds of things. It's like, I don't want to read about human rights or the Magna Carta or all these kinds of things, And it's great because you read a page and then you think you know everything. So you're like speaking about stuff and you're like, oh yeah, I kind of know about this. You don't know anything really. And it's like, but I had to read it because I had a purpose, because I had, at the end of that month, I was going to have to publish an assignment to the university to say, I've read this kind of stuff and I now can write so many words that says that I understand what I've read. So I had to read that stuff with a purpose. I had to flick through. I was kind of good at looking and saying, nah, that bit doesn't look interesting, and what bit's going to be really useful here? Kind of make it look like you've read the whole book, but really you've just read a bit of it. Just enough to get through. But with the Bible, when we're pursuing righteousness, to have that idea of, okay, how do I live righteously? How do I do this? How do I pursue the righteousness that Solomon's talking about here? Because sometimes it stops me dead in my tracks when these things hit me and these revelations come, and I'm like, actually, I don't know. But I know a place that does, and I know a God who wants to show me. So therefore, I can go into the Word of God, I can go into my Bible, and I can come at it like research with the inspiration of God and just saying, okay, this is the stuff I'm going to look at. Well, I know that guy obviously caught God's attention, and that guy even says that he was a man after God's heart, and that guy was declared a friend of God. So these guys obviously did something right with regards to pursuing righteousness to get God's attention, not only to the point where there was one scripture about them, but a lot of these guys, we read their whole story. And as we do that, we start to see a new picture of what it is. God starts to reveal to us, what is it that I'm supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And we find that. So I know that there's not one proverb, I just know that this wouldn't happen, that we read and think, I can't do it because I don't know how. Because I know that somewhere else in the God-inspired Bible, there's going to be something that shows us how we actually live that particular wisdom of Solomon. Whether that's through Solomon himself or through somebody else, whether that be biblical or historical, you're going to find some way of doing that. You're going to find some way of living what that wisdom says. And for this one, there's countless people that we can look at about that. Some have mentioned David, Abraham. Some of these classic figures are people that we can look at and think, yeah, they obviously got God's attention in a way that they pursued righteousness. And as we start to do that, you might ask yourself certain questions like, do you want to live a life of deep meaning? Do you want to be rich in the things that count? Do you desire to be respected by others. Because to find life, prosperity, and honour is going to deal with those three things. I want to live a life with deep meaning. Well, you'll find life. I want to be rich in the things that count. You'll find prosperity. I want to be respected by others. You find honour. And as we do that, all of those things, and if you were to do a poll of anybody across human society, a lot of those things are the things that people would say, well, that's what I want to see in my life. I want to know that I'm living a life of purpose. I want to know that I'm building up riches in the things that count. And I want to be respected by other people. Most people will pursue those things. The problem is, in a world setting, that those things are pursued directly in the wrong way, whereas we're given a great formula by Solomon to say, well, if you pursue righteousness and love, you find these things anyway. Because to pursue righteousness and love, you're pursuing actually what God's got for you. And when you pursue what God's got for you, you start to find all the other things that drops in line with those things as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sometimes we think that the very thing we need to pursue is the actual thing in and of itself. But this is why the wisdom of Solomon's so great, because he says, you know what? Because I think if you start pursuing directly, I want a life of deeper meaning, it's going to consume you. I want to be rich in the things that count. We start to lose track of what those things are. And all of a sudden, we're pursuing things that aren't necessarily of any use. We just become materialistic in our thinking. And to be respected by others, we just kind of become a little bit authoritarian, and we kind of actually become the opposite thing of what God wants us to become. And we have less respect than we do more respect, which is why this formula is great. But sometimes we start going pursuing after all these things and we're heading off in directions. And some people, they run so hard and so fast in life. They run hard, they run fast, they're moving at light speed. You know, they're living the life at, like Usain Bolt, record speed. And it's kind of like, I kind of like, whoa, just slow down. You know, kind of take a holiday or something. Get an Hawaiian shirt on. Get some shades on. Just relax a little bit. I don't know why Hawaiian shirts are always just like, just relax. But isn't it shorts, Hawaiian shirt, one of those thingies around your neck with a pina colada or something in your hand, and I'm relaxed now. You watch, whenever you see people in Hawaiian shirts, they're always walking slower. I just noticed this. It's like it almost brings this holiday effect on people. It's like everybody's just strolling down, sunglasses and shirt. It's like, they're walking slower than everybody else. They've tapped into holiday mode. They're not going at Usain Bolt speed. So if you need to slow down, maybe pick up an Hawaiian shirt, get some glasses, and just chill. Or people are climbing their careers and they're climbing after those things, and they're like climbing and climbing and climbing. Sir Edmund Hillary, you know he is, Sir Edmund Hillary, the guy who scaled Mount Everest. And you watch these people like going and they're running and they're running, and you're thinking, you're running after the wrong thing. And how annoying to be running so fast and so hard and climbing so far and so high, but know that you're climbing after the wrong thing and you're running after the wrong thing. There's nothing worse, is there, than when you've gone in the wrong direction. Really. I've experienced this with a group of teenagers when I went and helped out on an Outward Bound course. And there was a group of them, and myself and the instructor, we weren't able to intervene at any point, apart from if they put themselves in danger. And they were supposed to be orienteering and map reading the way around the Lake District. And there was this one point where the instructor says to me, says that we knew they had been going wrong for miles and miles and miles. And I was like, this is so hard. I just want to say, you're going the wrong way, guys. And he says, at this point, they should know they're going the wrong way because they're about to cross over a stream. And that map has got that stream on it. And if they cross that stream, they will know this is not the direction we've been directed to go in. And lo and behold, they went over the stream and just continued going and going and going. So they ended up in this point where the thing is, that was so sad, is that all the way that they were going in the wrong direction was all downhill. And so eventually they got to the bottom of this hill, which was completely off track. It was like in a car park with toilets, and it was supposed to be like an outback kind of experience, but then all of a sudden ventured into a touristy place, and we got to the bottom, and the instructor just goes up and says, can everybody gather around now? You've gone the wrong way. all this place, all the way you've just walked down, you should have turned left, not right, at the top of that hill. And this hill was massive. So you're going to have to go back up that way and get back on track again. And it was just like mortifying, honestly. I've never seen a bunch of teenagers break in my life. Some were in tears. Others just like threw the bag down. And we had like teenagers walking all over the place. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. Colourful language. Everything, it was just like, oh man, this is just, like somebody saying, I'm not going that way, I'm going this way. It's like, I'm not doing that anymore, this is rubbish. I didn't even want to be here, my youth centre sent me. And, you know, I was told I was going to be doing climbing walls and extreme sports, and all I've done is walk all for 3 days. And it was just like, absolutely. And I was like, oh, poor kids, I just felt so bad for them. It was like, you know, but they had to do it. It's like, you're going to have to go, there's no other way. You have to go back up there. And you watch people and you think you're going in the wrong direction. You're pursuing the wrong thing, you're pursuing and you're running hard and you're climbing hard, but you're not pursuing the things that matter. You're actually pursuing things that are of no use. A bit more wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14. It says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And I love that phrase, a chasing after the wind, because I know sometimes I can feel like I'm chasing the wind and I'm trying to catch the wind and it's just not possible. I know not so long ago I've used this scripture before. It's something that comes to me quite regularly. It's just one of those scriptures that think, yeah, I don't want to be chasing the wind because that's just pointless. You can't catch the wind. Oh, you might have done, but you can't catch the wind. You just can't do it. And some of these things that we go pursuing after, if they're not in God's plan, if they're not part of that kingdom which Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added, if it's not there, then we're just chasing the wind. We're trying to catch something, and I can't imagine anything more frustrating than trying to do something and eventually finding that I'm not actually making any ground up. Sometimes it feels like that when you're doing certain jobs, doesn't it? You feel like, I don't know, if you're decorating or you're digging, like weeding is the worst for it. Seriously, it's like, in my eyes, I would just have everything concrete in my garden. And I often tell people about this. I'm sure one day I will do it because I'm so obsessed with it. I watched a great thing where somebody just like, they completely concreted their whole garden. They dug everything up and they had this really nice concrete, you know, that really posh stuff that's about £1,000 a square metre. But it's got all the marks in it and stuff. It's kind of like no weeds come through it or anything. And they had this, it was like this beautiful forecourt garden. And they'd got these nicer raised bed things around the sides with the flowers in. Raised beds are great because they're not as bad for weeding either. Because you can just empty them out, put some new stuff in. Get your brown bin, tip it out, get some new soil, put some new flowers in. It's like, you know, it's funny, yesterday my brother was digging over my granddad's edge, and we're like, what's that? It's like, is that a flower? Is that a weed? Is that a flower? You just don't know. So it's like, well, that's got a flower on it, but it's a weed. It's like, is it really a weed? It looks quite nice. But you know, raised beds are easily maintained, just tipped out. You can do anything with them. You can grow veg in them. You can grow flowers in them. And so they had these nice things at the edge, and then it was like, that's a lovely forecourt garden. What about when your kids want to play football? And it was like, okay, not a problem. Watch this. And they've got this beautiful roll out AstroTurf grass, and they just rolled it down the centre. And what they did is they moved the raised beds in about 2 inch, and that sat on the edges, and it just looked like this perfectly beautiful garden. And I was like, that's just amazing. And like, it's great because all we do is we just hose pipe it off, vacuum it, roll it up, put it back in the garage. If we're having a barbecue, we just put it away and people can just stand around on the concrete. If the kids want to play or want to have a picnic, we'll just roll out the grass. And I was like, that's like living extreme, that is. That's just like, no weeds ever again. But weeding, you just feel like you're not getting anywhere, don't you? You feel like this is just not happening. But you know eventually you do get somewhere. But sometimes these things, it is literally as bad as it feels that we're pursuing something and we don't get there. We look back, it's almost like, I don't know about you, but when I'm weeding, I kind of feel like I've just done a bed and the weeds have grown back in the time it's taken to go and have a cup of tea. It's like, that wasn't there before. Like, are these like mutants or something? It's kind of like, is somebody planting these? And, you know, it's kind of like people, like little people popping up. But as the old saying goes, you might have heard this one before, that many people climb the ladder of success only to find that it was leaning up against the wrong building. How annoying. A bit like walking down that slope with those teenagers. The problem was, it's all well and good, but I had to go down there with them, and I had to walk back up there with them. We weren't allowed to stay at the top and just shout. We had to go down. It's like, your mistake has now cost me to have to come down here as well. And I'm tired, and I'm not even a teenager. I don't have all the energy that you guys have. But that whole thing of how annoying it is to get to somewhere and think and know that you've actually travelled the wrong way, or you've climbed up a ladder and you've pursued something to only find at the top of it you were against the wrong building. And there's one of the things that really sums this up well with regards to putting in a lot of work but not getting anywhere is a treadmill. Okay, treadmills in gyms. So you kind of, they're fun for exercising if you want to get a little bit of exercise. But unfortunately, many people kind of live their Christian life a bit like a treadmill, in that they're running and pursuing something, but they're not actually getting anywhere. And I kind of like treadmills because they're a little bit easier on the legs and the ankles, but I kind of also like being out running, out and about as well, and being out in and kind of feeling a bit more that I know I've been somewhere and done something, as opposed to what the clock on the treadmill tells me. It almost feels a little bit laborious. There is obviously a result, but it doesn't feel like there's much of a result. And so many people are on that treadmill of running and running and running and pursuing something and thinking that one day I'm going to get there. The problem is the thing that's being pursued is the wrong thing. And you never get there. The destination never arrives. You're just on a constant treadmill, hamster wheel, whatever you want to use. It's just round and round and round and round. Which is why I love this Wisdom of Solomon. But if you pursue righteousness and love, you will find life, prosperity and honour. And that's a promise. And that's a guarantee that you're going to find those things. So treadmills, I'm going to... When you look at the original intention for treadmills, it makes even more sense with regards to, are you living your life like you're on a treadmill? The good image of a Christian life that is pursuing after the wrong things. And I've got this excerpt about the history behind the treadmill. And so I do some reading. And it was like, and I read this and I was like, I'd never knew that before. I just figured that treadmills were in kind of like these great places, these gyms where you go and it's really good. And if you've got enough money to go to one of those gyms, you can go on a treadmill. But here we go. This is, I mean, you might already know this, but I found this really interesting, especially with regards to this particular topic of what we pursue after. And certain things that we pursue are going to have a return, certain things we pursue aren't. And it says this, that in Victorian England, treadmills weren't found in air-conditioned health clubs. They were found in prisons. Treadmills, or treadwheels, as they were called, were used in as a punishment in prisons. Some treadwheels were productive at grinding wheat or transporting water, but others were purely punitive in nature, which was, it was just a punishment in nature. Prisoners were punished by spending the bulk of their day walking an inclined plane, knowing that all their hard labour was for nothing. The only hope the prisoner had was that at some day in the future he would have paid his debt to society and he would be set free. He couldn't even look on his labour at the end of the day and know that if nothing else, he'd been productive. They were literally just chained to a treadmill and made to walk on a treadmill for most of their day, knowing that the biggest punishment of all was you've done all this work and it's amounted to nothing. And I was like, what a picture of pursuing after the wrong thing. What a picture of when we get out of God's plan and out of God's purpose and we're no longer pursuing righteousness and love and the kingdom of God, but we start to pursue something else, that we find ourselves in that position where we too are strapped to a treadmill or a treadwheel, and it's not being used in a productive manner. It's being used in a way that just causes us to become tired, causes us to become frustrated, and causes us to look and be unsatisfied with the fact that I've not achieved anything. I've done all this today, and you know, sometimes you feel like that, don't you? That, you know, even when you're pursuing after the right things, you think, man, I've worked so hard and I don't feel like I've achieved anything. But if we're pursuing what God says, it's another guarantee that you will have achieved something. You might not see it with your own eyes. You might not be able to recognize it. It's not always necessarily a counting the cash in the till at the end of the day kind of pursuit. But if you know what you're pursuing is what God's got for you, and it's righteousness and it's love and it's the kingdom of God, at some point it's going to happen. For those prisoners in Victorian England, they just knew that this is never, every day is just going to be, I'm just going to be walking for no reason, apart from if they wanted to walk, they wanted to get healthy. But, you know, it's, you know, there's still a bit of a punishment in that, just the mind game of it being on a treadmill. I'm not even seeing anything. I'm just stuck in the same place over and over again. And but as we struggle with that, and sometimes when we slip into that place where we slip onto the treadmill and we slip out of pursuing what God wants, and we slip into which can only be described as pursuing what we want, and that's where the difference comes. We all of a sudden tip it and think, well, I need to get this. I need to pursue this. And we strap ourselves to that treadmill. But the thing is, Christ, for those of us that are in Christ, we are free indeed. We're free from the treadmill. We are free from the handcuffs that strap us to that treadmill and say, you're just going to have to work and work and work and pursue and pursue and pursue and have no reward and find nothing at the end of it. The only time we put ourselves into that position is when we step out of what God's got for us and we put ourselves into bondage and out of the freedom. But when we're living in the freedom that's been won for us and given to us, we know that what we're pursuing in the righteousness and the love and the kingdom of God is something that is going to return a reward at some point in our lives, because we are sons and daughters of God. Yeah. And when we're pursuing what he wants, he gets something to us. You know, sometimes we pursue these things, and when we pursue what we want, we always find it empty. I say that. I always find it empty. And I can see other people that pursue something, and when they get it, it's just empty. We see it with kids all the time, don't you? That they want something so much, and they go on about it, and they go on about it, and it's almost like the anticipation of getting it, like the Christmas Day syndrome thing. Like, once the presents are opened on Christmas Day, it's a bit like, oh, that's it for another year. I don't feel like that anymore, but as a kid, it used to be a bit like, everything's ripped open. It's like, okay, play with that, play with that. Right, Christmas done. When's my birthday? But kids, it's this whole thing that they get so transfixed on, I want this, and I can't wait till I get that. And this just these last few days while we've been visiting family, I saw a great image of this in Elijah, which... he was really honoured by my older brother, in as much as I'd been in the attic at my mum and dad's. I was actually up there trying to find something else. I was trying to find my old Thundercats sword, which I thought was up there, but I couldn't find it. But there was all the old Star Wars spaceships up there from the 70s and the 80s, which were my brother's. I did play with them, but they are his. And obviously those of us that know us and know Elijah knows that he likes Star Wars. And my mum's kind of wanting to get rid of stuff. So as soon as... she's like, just pass one down for him to have a look at. I think she knew exactly what she was doing. Just pass one down so Elijah can have a look. So I passed one down, and he was like, wow. He's like, oh, I'm ringing our Gav. I'm going to ring our Gav, and I'm going to see if he can have them. So she rang him on my phone. Said, are you all right for Elijah to have these Star Wars toys? Or do you still want them to stay in the loft? And Elijah was very honoured, because after all these years, he gave up and said, yeah, he can have them if he wants them. He can take them, as long as he looks after them. It's like he's 3 years old. I'm sure he'll try his best, but I can't guarantee that he's not going to pick up the Millennium Falcon and shout Hulk smash and... and it's kind of game over. But and he'd got these things, and all these massive spaceships cost, like, toys used to be better back then. I don't know why, they just were. Like, the Star Wars stuff was so much better. And, like, the stuff that's, like, this big, and obviously I'm like, this is great. Elijah's like, wow, what's going on here? Sam's kind of like, where's all that going to go? But he got it, and all these things are coming down out of the loft, and he must have thought all this Christmas had come at once. It's kind of like, there's an X-Wing, there's a Millennium Falcon, there's a Rebel Transporter, there's Boba Fett's ship, and all these things is like, where is all this coming from? I'm 3 years old, you're telling me that's been up there all this time, and I've only just got it now? Where's all this stuff got? And he was just like, I don't think he could quite get his head around the fact that where have all these spaceships come from all of a sudden? Why have all of a sudden got, like, it's like Christmas all at once? So it was great for that split second he gets them. And then yesterday, We were having to put the stuff in our own attic when we got home, and he saw one of his other toys, which had starred up there. And he said, can we get that down? I was like, no, we're not getting it down, because you've got all that stuff that's come from your Uncle Gav, and that's downstairs, and we're just out of the room. Let's bring those spaceships up here and get that down. It's like, you're kidding me. After all this time, you've had these spaceships for a couple of days, and now they're kind of like discarded, and you want, I think it was Roboraptor, which is basically this robotic dinosaur thing that he's got, which is far too old for him, and he can't use it. But so it was just like, no, the spaceships are staying down, because I kind of can play with them as well. So, and it's like, no, because you've got them now. There's this picture of when we start to pursue something, and what seems like our whole world, the moment we get it, we realise it's just empty. Because it was never what God intended in the first place. I'm not that I'm saying that God didn't intend him to have the Star Wars stuff. I'm sure that he did. But I'm not serious. Like, I'm sure that God doesn't bother himself too much with that kind of thing. But, you know, I wanted him to have them. But it's like, you know, we pursue these things, and when it's not what God wants, we get it eventually, and it's like, this is just empty. This is not how I imagined. This is kind of, so we get to the top of our careers or whatever, and you're like, ah, is that it? Is this all there is to it? I've done all that climbing and all that running, and now I've got here, and what I've been pursuing after all these years, that's it. Which is why there's only true fulfillment in pursuing after the things that God clearly defines for us to pursue. Because to pursue anything else is always going to be empty. It might suffice for a while. It might be great for a while. When we have these mentalities of, when I've got to this, then everything's going to be better. When I've had this situation over, this is going to be better. When I've been to this place, this is going to be better. And we start pursuing our calendars as opposed to pursuing righteousness and love. And we always think it's going to be better when we get to the other side of something. And you kind of find that the main problem in the whole situation is you. And that's the only thing that goes to each one of those things. That's the common denominator, isn't it? The problem was never the situation. The problem was always me. And the problem is that I've been pursuing the wrong thing, and every time I've pursued something, I've been taking myself with me. If you haven't done that, then you're kind of clever, and I don't know how you haven't done that, but, you know, unless you're Peter Pan and your shadow's separate, you know, but then you're pursuing your shadow, aren't you? So that's just kind of like, you know, chasing your shadow, catch your shadow. It's a bit like that sometimes as well, isn't it? But when we don't pursue those things, when we don't pursue righteousness and love, we do find something else, but it doesn't last. It doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring life and prosperity and honour. It might bring those things for a short amount of time. You might feel as though you've been honoured in it for a short period of time. You might feel full of life because you've eventually reached this situation. You might even feel that you're prospering, whether that be financially or just in general. But as we do that, you start to realise this is not just not worth it. This is not what I've got in mind. This is not how I imagined it to be. So as we pursue those things, the things that God wants us to pursue, we find a great return in that. And some things give a good return and some things don't. The things that we pursue of our own making just don't have a good return in the end. They just become wasted time. It's like knitting fog. If you ever heard that phrase before. You ever heard that phrase? It must be a Yorkshire phrase. Knitting fog. Have you tried knitting fog before? Can't do it. Knitting, it's like knitting fog. I think it was my grandmother who used to say that one. Basically saying it's a pointless task. You can't do it. If you try knitting fog, you're not going to do it. Like trying to catch the wind. You can't catch the wind. But none of those things that God tells us to pursue are wasted. Even the things that seem tough and hard, every single one of them has something that comes round. You think, God, you're just amazing. Because I've put my trust and my faith in you, and I've pursued after what you said. At that time, it seemed really hard. At that point, I thought I was going to go to bits. But I've held it together, and I'm here. And I'm so thankful, God, because I can see that the return I've had come back is greater than anything else if I'd have stepped out into my own situation. I've done it myself from time to time. I've stepped out of pursuing what God said and pursuing something else. And it's always just full of disappointment. It just never works. It's like, oh, man. But God's the great restorer and the great redeemer, and he's able to bring us back round to that place where I'm going to give you this chance again. I'm going to give you this opportunity again. I'm going to see if you're going to pursue righteousness and love this time round and see the return come back, get the real 3-for-2 offer. There's some questions to consider then. Are you pursuing the right things? Are you pursuing the right things? Or are you finding that you're slipping into just pursuing what the first thing that comes into your head? A little bit like a child in seeing something advertised on the telly. You know, CBeebies is great because I don't have advertisements because it's a BBC. Channel 5, on the other hand, there's like instantly something comes on. And I can guarantee that most of the time, and I'm sure that Elijah's not the only one because I've known every child does this. I want one of those. We want one of those Batman cars. It's like, okay, when I've filled my chart, me get one of those Batman cars. It's like, it's a bit expensive. You might not be able to get a Batman car. But we instantly, and sometimes we're like the kids, aren't we? We don't. It's not necessarily seeing a Batman car on telly. If it's me, it might be, but, you know. We see something, and all of a sudden it's like, I want that. I'm going to get that. And God's like, why? Pursue the kingdom of God. Pursue righteousness. Pursue love. And all these other things will be added to you. What I have found that's great about God is sometimes these things just work out. And I pursue after what God wants. He sometimes blesses with those things that I could have pursued after it and made my life miserable. But it kind of drops it in and it's all the better and it's all the sweeter. I pursue righteousness and love. I find life, prosperity, honour and a Batmobile. I don't know. It's kind of like these things just drop in. It's like, that's brilliant. You know, I was having these little things just drop in. For those that have got a more of an acquired taste, I seek righteousness and love and I find life, prosperity, honour and an iPhone. It's kind of like, you know, God just releases, or a car or whatever it is that's needed, or that blessing. You know, it's great that we can pursue things, but if we make that particular thing our pursuit, we just get miserable about it. And we drive ourselves mad trying to think, how am I going to get this? And I know that I have a tendency to do that, because when I was younger, I used to be great at nagging away at my parents. Like, we need this. It's always, we need this, don't we? I need this to do my schoolwork. I need this to do my project. We need it. It's like quite funny thinking about it now, but the one thing I always wanted was a PC. It's like, I wanted a computer. It's like, nowadays, it's like, just, what? What's a PC? What's a computer? It's like iPads, isn't it, now? But I think it's like, I need one of these because it makes my projects for school look better. We need a computer. And it was like back in the days when like you could get them at Asda for like 500 quid or something. It's like, can we get one of these? We need one of these. I always used to be obsessed with, like, you couldn't do much on computers when I was at school, but they always had encyclopedias on there. And I loved the fact that you could kind of go onto encyclopedias, and if you were doing a project for school, you could lift maps and pictures and stuff and make it look really good. It's like, my project will look so much better for school if I have a PC and I can do this. But like, I think mum and dad kind of knew that it doesn't really matter how many pictures you put in there, that what you write is the most important thing. And I'm not paying £500 for you to try and trim up your work, which you're not putting the effort in. And you're just getting excited about how good the picture of Tutankhamun or how good the map of the Valley of the Kings looks and all these kinds of things. But we say we need it. And even now we go to God and we say, but God, I need it. God, I need this. And he's like, I know what you need. I know what you need. What you need to do is pursue righteousness and love. And when you do that, you find life, prosperity, and honour. And sometimes I add those things to you, which aren't always necessarily a need, but I bless you with the things that I know are going to make you feel fulfilled, feel happy. Because it's not all about being happy, is it, sometimes? It's about that pursuit of holiness and a pursuit of righteousness and a pursuit of love, a love for God and a love for one another. But God is so good that he pours in those things from time to time. So are you pursuing the right things? If not, you're going to be disappointed when you reach your destination. And I don't just say that as a cliche. I speak from experience because I've been there sometimes. You get to the destination, you think, is that it? Man, I really put a lot of effort into this. Not worth it. But when we pursue righteousness and love, we find so much more. It's a good return and it's a good investment. When we invest into that, when we invest our very life into the thing that God's got for us, we get a good return on it. I don't know about you, but I like to see a good return on stuff. Yeah. I like to see what I've done has a good return, and I don't always know in the here and now that something's had an impact or an influence. But I know that if I'm in the kingdom of God and I'm pursuing what God said, in some point, somehow, some way, it's having a good return. And I know that if I'm pursuing righteousness and love, I've got to find life, prosperity and honour, because that's just what it says.
Yeah.
That is just as it is. Can I have the band up and just start playing for me a little bit, please? As as we pursue those things that God wants, we find them. When we pursue the things that we want, we find them. But the outcome is totally different. My heart for you this morning is that from this message, you'll go and or even now, you'll think about, what am I pursuing? Am I really pursuing righteousness and love? Or am I just pursuing the situation? Because what I love about the wisdom of Solomon, and this just to wrap up, the wisdom of Solomon is, it so speaks into our modern society. I don't know what life was like then, but so many of the things that Solomon says just taps right into the way we live in our modern day culture today. Because in a modern day society, we don't want to pursue righteousness and love, but we want the rewards of life, prosperity and honour without pursuing the things that we're supposed to. And society will try to tell us that we can find those things, that we can find those things without pursuing and putting in the work beforehand. It's a whole minimum effort, maximum impact mentality that I'll put as little in as possible and expect to get the most out as possible. It's a mentality that says, buy now, pay later. And it's a mentality that says, you can have this for free, but it's never free. It's a mentality that says, 0% interest. But there's only one life, one way of living that any of those things are true. 0% interest on our salvation and pursuing the things that God's got for us is the only place. But there is a cost, and we know that. There's a cost to pursuing righteousness and love. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come it doesn't just land on your lap. That's why you have to pursue it. To pursue something is you're doing something about it. Thinking about it is one thing. Speaking to somebody about it is one thing. But to pursue something is an actual action of going after something. And that's why I love the fact that it uses this word, pursue. Pursue righteousness and love. You find prosperity, life, and honour. And as you find those things, you find them in the right order. And so often we're told, or we trick ourselves into thinking, if I pursue life, prosperity, and honour, then I'll find righteousness and love. And we tip it on its head and we lose the order that God intended, which is why the wisdom of God spoken through Solomon, written down through Solomon, is so powerful in our society today, because so much of it speaks in and says, don't live like that. Don't live that way. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to do it with as least effort as possible. Put in the work. Put in the effort. Be willing to pursue the things that are actually more difficult to pursue, because when you do, you find the things at the end of it that you want to pursue after anyway. And that's the order that God's got for us. It's a good return, it's a great investment, and it's some great wisdom from Solomon to live a life that pursues after those things. Let's all stand, and I just wanted to take a moment to, you know, just consider just now, here, this morning, as the band play, you know, what are you pursuing after? Just take a moment to consider, am I pursuing righteousness and love? Am I really pursuing to live a life that God's got for me? Or am I pursuing after something else? And I just keep tripping myself up. Or I just keep finding that when I get to what I think is the finish line, I'm disappointed, or I'm not fulfilled, or I haven't quite got to that place yet. Are you pursuing after what God's got? Just let God work with you right now. Let God minister into your life right now. Let the Holy Spirit show you things that perhaps you're pursuing at the moment that you just need to think, I'm just wasting my time. I literally am chasing the wind here. This is not what God's got for me. I'm trying to make something happen that is probably never going to happen. I'm trying to make something happen that eventually when it does, it's just a mess because it's not what God wanted in the first place. And show him in how for you personally, let God show you now how does it look in your life today to be pursuing righteousness and love? What does that look like? For some, it might just be a little subtle change that makes all the difference. You know, we had Christians Against Poverty here the other week, and they were saying that with some of the budgeting stuff they do with people, just the slightest little adjustment makes a massive impact on a family's financial situation, that families that were living in debt, because of a few little switches and changes, were able to be going on holiday for the first time in years. Things that seemed impossible all of a sudden became possible because of a little tweak, a little shift, a little move. Perhaps God's highlighting something to you right now that says, you just need to change this in your life. You're doing great, you're doing good. You're trying to pursue righteousness and love, but just this little thing is making it more of a drag. It's making it more difficult. Perhaps you know that you've gone completely off the track of righteousness and love, and you're thinking, you know, I've just been pursuing things that are meaningless, that are empty, and I need to get back on track. Well, let God show you right now how you're going to do that, because it starts with you. It starts with that choice of saying, God, show me how to pursue these things again. Show me how my life looks living this way. Perhaps God's been speaking to you for quite a while now about something, and you just know that it's time to act, it's time to do something. It's time to step out of the boat and onto the water and pursue the righteousness and the love and the kingdom of God in a way that God's been saying, this is what I've got for you, I'm ready when you are. And that's so often the case, that God's saying, I'm ready when you are. The thing is, he's made us ready. We just have to make the step, take the step, move into that place. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us today that by your Holy Spirit, you strengthen us to be able to pursue after the things that you have called us to go after. Lord, forgive us when we get off track and we go after things that you never intended us to go after, that you never had in the plan, but we just write it into the plans in our own way. Lord, forgive us. Jesus, I thank you that you're the great restorer, that the places when we have gone off track, where we have maybe lost it a little bit, you enable us to come back in line. You enable us to get back to that place. Lord, strengthen each of us as we go from this place today to pursue righteousness and love. And God, I thank you that in that we will find life, prosperity, and honor. I thank you that you're a good God that blesses us, that you've got our best interests at heart, and I thank you, God, that you hold us in your hand and no one can pluck us out of your hand. God, forgive us when we walk away, when we struggle and move away from your hand and try to go it on our own. But I thank you that no person and no situation can do that. Only I can do that. Lord, forgive me when I don't stay in that place of security and leave myself vulnerable. Leave myself open. God, strengthen today. Strengthen the weak legs. Strengthen the weak arms. To continue to pursue after everything that you've got for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.